This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's not just a radio station, it's your radio station. If you're not a member, you bloody well should be. I'm Macca. My co-host is Nevena. What have we got next, Nev?
We have got an incredibly exciting interview. So I'd like to welcome our next guest to the studio. They are the CEO of the Tilda Festival, Ro Bright. Welcome to Saturday Magazine.
Thank you so much for having me.
So last night I made the perilous journey from the north side to the west, but it was very much worth it because I got to attend the program launch of the Tilda Festival, which is turning 10 this year at the Footscray Arts Centre. Ro, tell us about the journey over 10 years and what Tilda is.
Well, Tilda came very much from the trans and gender diverse community, needing to see more of our stories on screen. And it started as a volunteer kind of group out of passion, out of our amazing founders, including people like Cerise Howard, who's now at Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
Yes.
And so that passion started from volunteering. We had kind of different nights over the last 10 years. And then when COVID hit, we kind of had to put a pause. And we also had to adjust because the community has shifted so much, particularly in the last 3 or 4 years. And we also started to address what does it mean for capacity for our volunteers and for our community when there's so much going on in the world at the moment. And so we did a huge review with the Footscray Community Arts Centre. They stepped in and really became came beside us and stepped in. And so we did a full review and consulted the wide community. And from that, we got a whole lot of recommendations about how we could grow. And so amazingly, we put together a custodian group of leaders across the community who then selected a board. So we now have our very first governance board, and they're all trans and gender diverse folks. And we got funding from Creative Victoria to build 2 years of programming. So we now have staff, and I'm the first employee, and it has meant we've been able to truly connect and program and be very intentional about everything that we do.
I think one of, you know, an organisation, so it's 10th year for the festival. The first couple of years for any organisation are the most difficult. And then you survive that, then you get to 5 years and then. So the funding you've got from Creative Victoria gives you that ability now to have a little bit of you know, we can do this for the next couple of years. So what is the plan? Not beyond that. I'm not going to put you on the spot for that. But what is the plan, you know, to build on the capacity and to bring the stories forward and to support, you know, the community? How are you, you know, the next couple of years? Obviously, festival, but, you know, things happen between festivals. Hey. Tell us about that.
Well, I think our festival is actually a really good example of what that future thinking is, which is a lot about developing and focusing on our filmmakers locally and internationally. So this year we have 2 commissions, micro budgets for First Nation artists, yep, who are going to bring their works to opening night, and getting to work with filmmakers who are curating particular nights specifically. So we're working with Sapphic Flicks, who are doing our opening night, which they are phenomenal First Nations filmmakers here in Nam. Yeah. Gay24, who are like my favourite curators in finding the quirky, weird, cult favourites that only trans and gender diverse people watch and just laugh. Absolutely laugh their asses off because it's so specific, yeah, to community. So it's a lot about partnerships and spending time with relationships in not just the curation space, but really developing strong relationships with filmmakers and being able to set up kind of strategic plans so that, for example, again, this year we have a partnership, sibling relationship with Translations Film Festival in Seattle.
Right.
So there's 8 trans film festivals around the world. We're the only one in the Southern Hemisphere. And so Translations in Seattle, we're doing a sibling film exchange. So we're premiering one of their films in the festival. They're still finishing it. They're in post at the moment. And then our First Nation films will screen guaranteed in June in Seattle.
Incredible. Wow.
So it's a lot about building solidarity in order to create pathways and careers for our filmmakers. It's also about creating platforms for advocacy. So we have a very special session with Women on Set, which is a conversation and panel bringing over Ramon Teweke from Aotearoa to come over, who's she's an icon, director, producer, writer, who is a phenomenal artist who will be here with our First Nations artists. And we're also bringing in Bailey Turner, who is an incredible consent and intimacy coordinator on Neighbours, but who's really changing the game around how we work in a workspace and how do we communicate and how do we engage. And that kind of level of consent work creates safety, not just for our community, but everyone also working with our community. So we're also creating space for those conversations that are connecting industry. And we're also trying to become a space in which our filmmakers really want to premiere their work, but also a space that international filmmakers, we have a very exciting film for closing, which just came from Sundance, called Desire Lines, which is very specific to our gay trans men, which I'm very, very thrilled. We worked very hard and pleaded greatly to get this film. So it's kind of a combination of working with community, working with filmmakers, really finding quality films that have deep conversations to who we are now. So that's why this year all of our films are director, produced or trans collective filmmakers. And then we also have two archival films, one which is the very first Australian film made about trans lives. So we're kind of balancing conversations in order to show the industry and the community that we're really worth investing in, which then creates space for our filmmakers to start telling their stories on a bigger stage and bigger screens.
Ro, listening to this, I'm just reflecting on the difference funding can make. So usually when funding happens, it can be for a one-off project or a grant application. But what I'm hearing and what the approach seems to be here is far more sustainable. If you have a community that is connected not only to each other but to other sibling groups overseas, you can build sustainability beyond the funding. If you have a trans and gender diverse community that is empowered in employment and has an economic future, that is going to go beyond that 1 year grant funding. Is this something that was purposeful and has come out of that strategic look that you made? And how do we get more organizations thinking this way? Because it's almost like you're thinking beyond the funding.
I think a big part of it is because I came on halfway through last year, and actually what was so great about the board is that they had already got funding to be able to support us to do the strategic thinking as we were beginning programming. So we worked with Jane Crawley, who's a phenomenal strategic mind.
Yes.
And we were able to, I guess, having that strategic thinking of what do we need for the future, but also as I'm a filmmaker myself, I'm working on my second feature, and I know the things that I need, and I know the spaces that I need to feel safe. And, you know, a lot of this festival directly comes from filmmakers. So a big part of it was Kiki Temple, who's a phenomenal actress and writer. We had a big trans forum as part of Overflow, the team that was all entirely trans and gender diverse artists. And part of them coming and speaking, we talked a lot about harm reduction and very much the need to have as many trans folk around you in creative spaces in order to be safe, but also to be able to be yourself and to be the best self in the creative process. So I think it's the combination of that, building lots of relationships over the past 6 months. It's been quite fast, but building those relationships, talking to people. But I will also say that within our community, because we are so often the only person in a room in so many spaces, when one of us reaches out, the solidarity is immediate. People say yes. They want to engage. They want to be in that room. They want to do things. So I think a big part of that strategy is because people are saying yes.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'm a bit of a student of history, and the simple fact that this is the 10th year that you got that Creative Victoria funding, and Creative Victoria is really creating a better Victoria, giving opportunities. I think it's so enriching and so uplifting to see that, you know, communities can, you know, can actually create something and sustain something with a little bit of help. And that the ecosystem that you put around that, it's a bit like what Pinnacle Foundation does, you know, with their scholars, what you're doing with your filmmakers and the community, it works. So how many films in total at the festival, including little ones?
We have 24.
Right.
However, we have a couple more that will be announced.
Do you want to tell us now?
No, any exclusives for Saturday Magazine that you might want to share?
No, not at the moment, because I need to make sure it's all locked
in. All right, turn down their microphone, Paul.
And we also have three exhibitions. So, like, a lot of this in those exhibitions is a whole lot of content as well from First Nations and Diaspora. And so there's quite a lot more that will come in above that 24 in the exhibition space. So the numbers I'll be able to tell you all.
Okay.
When we open.
All right.
And Ro, if people want to buy tickets, find out more about the program, where are we sending them?
Today we're sending them to the Footscray Community Arts Centre page. We have all of the tickets and everything up there. Our page will be updated shortly.
Great.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ro Bright, CEO of Tilda Festival. In its 10th year, great work. Really, really great, you know, to chat with you. Best of luck with the festival and with those other two films you're not going to tell us about. But stick to it. Stick at it. Well done.
Thank you.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. A really, really quick break, I believe, and then I'm going to come back with Nevena and say goodbye. Stay with us.
You have been on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Nevena. A huge thanks for everyone who's tuned in and to all of our guests today. We spoke with Misha Schubert, the CEO of the Super Members Council. We had an incredibly moving conversation with freelance journalist Declan Brennan on the recent inquiry into historical abuse in primary schools. We then had a tribute to the warrior Phil Carswell with Dr. Adam Carr, and we spoke with the chair of the Pinnacle Foundation, the wonderful Andrew State, and then we spoke with Ro Bright, CEO of Tilda Film Festival. It's been a pleasure, hasn't it, Macca?
It has. And my final word to our federal parliamentarians in the government and the opposition is, you think equality is actually difficult. It's not. It's actually easy if you truly, truly believe in it. Don't be gutless. Don't be piss weak. Stand up for the Australian community, for my community that votes for you. Don't take the easy option. Do what's right. I know it's a novel concept, but do what's right. Thank you.
And next on Word for Word, we have Teresa Ma. The news is next.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.